This is CliffCentral.com.
It was the summer of 1995 in New Orleans, Louisiana, 10 years before Hurricane Katrina hit. We arrived just after 10 a.m., after a grueling 18-hour bus ride from Greensboro, North Carolina. All of us were in our 20s except for Cherie. While she was 30 years old, she didn't look a day older than 25. There were seven of us. We were on a mission, and that mission was to learn and grow as spiritual leaders at the Full Gospel Conference, a conference full of spiritually inspired young and old from all around America. A good percentage even came from various parts of Africa, Europe, and the Caribbean. Well over 20,000 people would show up at this conference. While there are workshops for spiritual leadership that we hope to bring back to our home church, we were there to be in the presence of T.D. Jakes and Bishop Paul Morton. You see, they were and still are celebrities in the American mega church community. Back in Greensboro, or more specifically a small town called Oak Ridge, we were the youth leaders of the church, and our goal was to engage the most inspired minds and come back more equipped and enabled leaders. But in the back of all of our minds was a distinct hope that we would get answers to issues and voids in our personal lives. All seven of us were doing fairly well in our respective careers, and like all faithful followers of any religion, you expect a conference such as this to guide you to even higher heights. Vic and James were in the automotive industry. Derek was a leading minister of music. Cherie was a director at a leading hair care brand. Keisha and Leslie worked in and around the pharmaceutical business. And me? Well, I was caught between worlds. I've always wanted to help people on the journey of translating their best identity. The psychology of style and identity was my world. I started this by working in retail, but was absolutely certain that this would never be enough. It was always my dream to pursue the psychology and science of image, style, and branding. The conference was hosted at the Superdome, the same dome that would shelter Hurricane Katrina victims a decade later. The Superdome is huge, 125 million cubic feet, and can host over 79,000 people. See, we couldn't afford the good seats on the lower level, but it didn't matter that we sat in the rooftop in what's known as the nosebleed seats. We were in the building, and T.D. Jakes was there. And even though he would look like an ant from our purview, we were in the building. On the first day, we sat in our seats, proud, jovial, super excited about the next few days. Before the conference started and the celebrity pastors came out, music played, the mood was light and promising. I sat next to Cherie. See, Cherie and I were very close. She was somewhere between a big sister role model and the woman all of the guys on the trip were attracted to, but knew she was out of our league. This was the era before smartphones, so we were all in conversation instead of buried face first in our screens. I was sharing with Cherie that I had never seen anyone doing what I wanted to do in my career. After I told her my dreams about merging the psychology of style and said I am completely confused about what to study and which degree I should get to do this, she pushed my head down and said with supreme confidence, "Pray about it." While I did feel ridiculous having a woman push my head down, I put it down and I prayed. After about 90 seconds of praying, I pray something like, "God, I feel a bit ridiculous praying right now with my head down. But I am sincere. I really want to know how to get to the next level and what I want to do in my career. Please guide me in some way or another." It went something like that. Can't remember the exact words, but as I opened my eyes, there was a magazine. Before lifting my head, I reached for the magazine and opened it. The first page I opened to was filled with the contents that would change the course of the rest of my life. Welcome back to the next episode of the Brain and Branch Show. I am your host, Timothy Maurice, and this is a show where we explore the intersection of your brain and brand's power, how people impact brands, and how brands impact your psyche. I'm interested in the neuroscience of branding and brain power. If you have a dream of working in an unconventional career, and one that is perhaps has never been done, this will be the show for you. This show will explore how I became a part of a team that styled and consulted the likes of TDJ, famous athletes and executives at Fortune 500 companies. The show will essentially look at the miraculous way I launched my personal brand and what I learned from Bishop TD Jakes about branding. After lifting my head, I grabbed Cherie and said, look, there's an advert in the mag that's advertising the type of work that I want to do. I'll never forget Cherie's reply. She didn't endorse my unbridled enthusiasm. She said with a stern confidence, I told you, all you had to do was pray about it. All of a sudden, after I told her this, purplish lights were blast across the dome. The conference had begun. The relaxed music that settled us in went to the next level. Gospel music shot from the Superdome speakers, and the superstar pastors emerged, and a cloud of spiritual emotion consumed the entire space. While people had their hands raised high in worship, many crying, I could not get my mind off the magazine advert. Although the music made it difficult to hear yourself, with organists, keyboard players, drummers, and more playing like a rock band, it was as if the entire moment was on mute. I didn't get a chance to tell Cherie the best part. The part that stunned me was that the person who put the advert in the mag was 18 hours away, back in my hometown. The conference flew by. Day one went. Day two came. Day three. Even now, I struggle to recall many of the details of each day. I simply could not get my mind off the advert and the fact that the person was in the very same city where I lived. Everyone on the trip was engrossed in the conference. No one cared that on the first day of the conference, before proceedings even began, I had gotten what I came for, and I was ready to go. Shortly after we arrived back, I would get an even greater surprise. When I phoned the company from the advert was all about soul of image, the deeper intrinsic value of image, and the image was much more than just about clothes, what I now know to be embodied or enclosed cognition. I phoned the company, John Michaels. I asked for John, the owner. A lovely woman answered and transferred me to him. After a quick chat, John told me he couldn't discuss over the phone and that I must come in right away if I was available. Of course I was available. I dropped everything I was doing. I rushed over to meet John himself, the man in the advert. After sharing a few pleasantries and a few intense moments of eye contact, he said, I would like to hire you right now. He then began to explain that he placed the advert in the magazine by faith, and he didn't actually offer the service, but that he wanted to. So he put the advert in to attract someone who wanted to do this work, because he didn't have time himself. He believed that the people influenced on our lives, such as famous pastors, athletes, and executives, should be offered a service that includes styling, image, consulting services, advisory, specific service about the psychology of personal positioning, image, or we would now know to be personal branding. I said to him, are you saying you don't offer the service and you believe I am the one to offer it? He says, yes. I had little formal training in this. Yes, I enjoyed style. I read a lot of psychology books. But I had gone to a small college at the time called Brookstone College and studied business. How was I going to help these people? He said, it doesn't matter. I'll send you to courses and we can learn this thing together. And that's precisely what he did. He sent me to a number of courses ranging from the Image Institute, Design Academy in Atlanta, Georgia, and more, until he felt I understood the holistic value of image and could guide his famous customers on why understanding the psychology image was worth paying for. Here I was, about to live my dreams. And even though it didn't pay well, it didn't matter. I remember the first time I heard T.D. Jakes' voice over the speaker. You see, T.D. Jakes was John's biggest customer. If you don't know T.D. Jakes, he is basically the most well-known African-American pastor in the world. He is a global standard who has written multiple best-selling books, designed theater plays, produced a big-budget spiritual film several times over, and so much more. You may have remember he prayed for Barack Obama a number of times. I think he even prayed for one of the Bushes. He's been on the cover of Time magazine with Oprah. He now has a TV show. Anyway, T.D. Jakes was one of the biggest customers of John, and I got a chance to hear him speak over the phone, and it was surreal. His voice is very deep. Very deep. The first conversation I overheard didn't go the way I expected it, though. For some reason, I was expecting some sort of saintly spiritual guru. But what I overheard was a tenacious and Wall Street-style negotiator. As the godfather of the black church, Jakes was responsible for 80% of John's business. When Jakes told his other megachurch pastors to buy from John, that's what they did. Everyone looked up to John. Everyone looked up to Jakes and John, in fact, because John was consulting Jakes. John was like a superstar himself. What was interesting about this call? It was vicious. The call disintegrated into a literal knife cutting type of vibe. The deal breaker for John and Jakes, which happened in the first few weeks of my employment. They had gone back and forth, battling over and over. You see, John was refusing to compromise on a minor detail. T.D. Jakes knew his value and worth to John, but John couldn't see it. He pressed John to open his eyes and see the value of the relationship. Jakes really loved clothes. Even when you watch him on TV now or see him on book covers and more, he is always dressed extremely smart and savvy. Jake's reputation was that he is a bully when it comes to details, and much like Steve Jobs, the late Apple co-founder, who was also well known for being a tyrant about details, Jobs and Jakes paid attention to details in a way that very few others do. You can Google him and take a look at each area of his clothing, always in perfect form. From cufflinks to shoes to cuffs, everything. Before he grew to where he is now, he used to overdress, though, pushing, being slightly obscene at times. There's a famous set of photos where he and his wife were wearing bright red pinstripe suits. Those horrible-looking gangster suits came from John. Yes, John. As long as Jakes was willing to pay for a garment, John would make it. I was brought in to get consumers to think with more alignment between their work, their image, and what they would become known for in their ministries or on their teams or as an executive. We consulted and designed and styled famous athletes like they played for the New York Yankees, Orlando Pirates, on the corporate side, American Express. And my explicit goal was much like T.D. Jakes, is to get people to pay attention to detail and to think more critically about how their career and their image and their clothes all aligned. The outside pocket on your suit jacket at the left chest level holds what we call a pocket square. There are several ways to wear one. You can wear it in a square shape, or you can make it hang out of your pocket like a flower. These pocket squares cost approximately 100 to 500 rand on average, and Jakes wanted a few of them for free. In those few weeks, while I just started working for John, I could not believe that John would refuse this simple request. Jake stuck to his guns, and so did John. Jake's taught me to understand how power and leverage works. how to negotiate based on power, knowing when to exercise your power, how power evolves with your reputation. Jakes moved on from John, and so did many of his pastor friends. And after a year and a half of living a dream of traveling all across America, meeting some of the most fascinating people, John went under and literally lost everything because of his spiritual guru, T.D. Jakes, leaving. For years, I blamed T.D. Jakes. But what I learned as I matured was that Jakes understood his position of leverage and that John could have seen the request from Jakes through a different lens. A lens I've come to know as an expansive lens, or a view that says our brands can grow together if we share in the growth benefits. If John was smart, he would have created an incentive model for Jake's range and created a range for Jake's, or a package that would have more than appeased him. But John grew to a point that he did not see where his center of power was. Although it was early in my 20s, it was extremely clear to me that when two brands are collaborating and evolving together, the terms of the relationship have to be revisited at critical growth junctures of the relationship. In fact, I think all relationships have to be assessed and reviewed from time to time, even personal ones. This was 20 plus years ago, and one main observation I've had is as follows. The other clients we had that didn't pay as much attention to detail as Jake's have folded or fallen apart or simply disappeared from high-level influence. And those who were as unrelenting as Jake's, with a deep passion for details, are still growing and thriving. The great thinker Swami Sivananda said, "A mountain is composed of tiny grains of earth. The ocean is made up of tiny drops of water. Even so, life is but an endless series of little details, actions, speeches, and thoughts. And the consequences, whether good or bad, of even the least of them are far-reaching." The prolific entrepreneur Richard Branson spoke of details this way: "An exceptional company is the one that gets all the little details right." Thanks so much for listening to the Brain and Brand Show. As your brand grows, pay attention to the details. Thanks, T.D. Jakes, for the lesson. It was a hard lesson. It may not have been a cozy spiritual lesson like I was expected, but not everything is. We'll be back next week with the next episode. Continue sharing the podcast with friends and family. Visit my website, www.timothymaurice.com, to hear more episodes.
This is CliffCentral.com.